Starting another brand new hour of the Steve Gerber Show, coming to you live from Studio G here in the heart of America. We survived the apocalypse. Congratulations. I'm Steve Gerber, fighting for you from the foxhole of freedom. I want to tell you the truth, but nobody else will. I'll be brutally honest. God bless America. Let's roll. Here are three big things you need to know to start this hour. Number one, a state representative from Gaylord is proposing owners of property have quick remedies for these squatters that are popping up all over the country. It's about time. Protect property owners. Number two, unwavering in our support of fair competition, NAIA bans men from participating in women's sports and involves many Michigan schools. And number three, a Detroit farm and cider co-owner faces jail time over her animals. This story just struck me as is unusual. Once again, heavy-handed politicians. You know, we're in a day and age where small farms are being embraced. They're being plowed under in a lot of places, no pun intended, but they're being embraced. How about in the city of Detroit? The only cider mill in the city of Detroit, and according to one site here, it might be the only black-owned cider mill in America, is being targeted for closure. That comes to us from Black Enterprise magazine. But Leandra King is a farmer at Detroit Farm and Cider, facing jail time for having unapproved livestock, horses and chickens, on a five-acre parcel. If found guilty, she could be sentenced to 2 years probation, a $500 fine, or 90 days in jail for having horses and chickens, which the city of Detroit is demanding to take. King has been farming more than 8 years, during which she planted 130 fruit trees, working for those to reach maturity. Back in 2019, she said they held a mock opening, attracting hundreds of people daily, but the farm ran into trouble when animal control confiscated horses and chickens. And then King said, they won't give me a clear pathway to making the animals legal. Backyard chicken owners, pay attention. Corporate-owned farms in Detroit, Detroit Horsepower and Pingree Farms, have special ordinances for the city of Detroit. By the way, this comes from the Center Square. And I found this to be interesting. King's Farm is family-owned. It has a youth equestrian program. It partners with Michigan State University, the Detroit Public Schools Community District, and Wayne County 4-H. She's partnered with all the good folks. And yet she's getting hammered on by the politicians in Detroit. Come on, people, wake up. It's a small five-acre farm. Maybe you could learn a little something about urban agriculture. We have a legitimate program that we facilitate for the youth in Detroit, said King. When you come here, the idea is not only do you get your kids to participate in the program, but you're a resident of Detroit. It's free. Come see the chickens, the horses. Understand where food comes from. Why is this woman the enemy of the people in Detroit? I don't know. I'm trying to sort it out here. The farm's nonprofit arm aims to provide dinners and a show such as farm-to-table dinners and plans to open a medieval theme with a horse show and a dinner. The Detroit Corporation Council, Conrad Mallett, told the Center Square this. Quote, City of Detroit ordinances cannot be ignored simply because the person violating the ordinance is well-intentioned. In the past, animal control has removed horses, goats, and other animals from the property. We're a city of more than 675,000 people. The people who live across the street from the non-licensed property have rights. They have the right to enjoy their homes free from the animal smells and noise. Continual violation of our ordinances ultimately will create a consequence where fines and jail time is a possibility. We're protecting all of our citizens and we're trampling on no one's rights. Well, I'll let you decide. King said her farm is in compliance with the Michigan Environment and Agricultural Development, the Right to Farm program through the state of Michigan, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Looks like she's done her homework. Detroit City Council President Mary Sheffield told the Center Square that she has been steadfast in support for small business owners, but stressed that it is of critical importance all business operate within the city of Detroit and state laws. Animal control has had to remove horses, goats, and other animals from the property to avoid litigation, Sheffield wrote in an email. The city of Detroit has a responsibility to protect all residents from businesses that are non-compliant. And that's how we have arrived at this juncture. Once the legal process is played out, we will re-engage with the Detroit Farm and Cider in an effort to find an amicable solution. Doesn't sound that way. Sounds like you might shut her down and take all of her animals. Supporters include BLM Detroit, They want the city to drop the criminal charge and allow the farm to open. So many Detroiters like Farmer Lee have taken on the job of creating beauty, love, food, connection, and purpose within the vacant lots across Detroit. How true is that? The same lots that city officials have ignored for decades, the social media post says. As the urban farm movement has grown across the city, many farmers have hit roadblocks that corporations never see. Like many farms across the city, Detroit Farm and Garden is a space of joy, pride, education, and creating a reimagined vision of Detroit, a vision that is being created by black Detroiters. Yeah. Supposed to appear in court yesterday. I don't have an update on it, though. Detroit Farm and Cider. I think that it's, you know, I think it's worth looking into urban farming, because you do have, Detroit is the only city in American history that was more than a million people and then collapsed below a million people to 675,000, which I think might be a bit of an exaggeration, but hey. The point is, there's a lot of vacant land, feral land, land that could be used for farming and urban agriculture. Why not allow the folks to do it? I don't know her setting. I don't know who lives across the street, so I'm a little bit of a disadvantage, but I, as a general theme, support the idea of urban farming. And farming in general, small farms. You want it to be organic? Knock yourself out. Whatever you want it to be, all right? And a quick update. The NAIA, as you know, has now banned transgender athletes from women's sports. Happened yesterday. Big move. The Pope also banning transgenderism from Catholic doctrine, saying, no, it has no place. You're trying to play God. God will be God. You will be people. That's basically the takeaway from the Pope, right? 241 schools nationwide now, NAIA. Schools like, let's see, in Michigan, Aquinas College, Cornerstone, Siena Heights, Spring Arbor University, Hillsdale, all NAIA members, and several more as well. Those are the ones that I find quickly. So no men playing in women's sports here. Let's see, what is the rule exactly? I'll tell you just so you know. It is crucial that NAIA member institutions, conferences, and student athletes participate in an environment that is equitable and respectful with input from our member institutions. And the Transgender Task Force, the NAIA's council president, has confirmed our path forward. They voted 20-0, by the way. The policy only allows athletes to participate in NAIA-sponsored women's sports if the biological sex at birth is female and they've not started hormone therapy. Right. You can't take a bunch of testosterone. That would be cheating. Well, you know, the East Germans tried it for years. They looked like dudes. Gee, go figure. Anyhow, yeah, that's, I say that with all the spirit of love intended. Coming up, Will Bruck will be here, state representative from Michigan. A bit later, Matt Hall, the Republican state house leader in Michigan as well. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Good to have you here. I'll be back. When it comes to investing, I'm always wondering, am I doing the right thing? And that's why I say you should always get a second opinion. This is Steve Gruber, and one of the people I ask about where to put my money is Nick Hopwood of Peak Wealth Management in Plymouth, Michigan. You see, Nick has over 25 years of investing experience and nearly $300 million under management. Plus, Nick and his team at Peak Wealth are fiduciaries, which means they invest in your best interest, not their own. Many advisors in the industry don't do any planning at all. As certified financial planners, the Peak Wealth team creates comprehensive, holistic financial plans based on your goals and what's important to you. Reach out to Peak Wealth for a second opinion today on your investments, fees, and to make sure you won't run out of money in retirement. By working with Nick, you can retire with peak confidence. Get your second opinion at peakwm.com/Gruber. That's peakwm.com/Gruber. Peak Wealth Management. The cost of heating and cooling your home seems to be going up every year, and you know it. But there's something you can do. With the WellConnect Hybrid Geothermal System, you can cut your utility costs by hundreds, maybe thousands of dollars a year. How?
If you have a well in your yard and use propane, natural gas, heating oil, or even wood, the patented Well Connect system could save you a ton of money. That's right, your well is the renewable green energy source for your Well Connect hybrid geothermal system, delivering a state-of-the-art heat pump, usually in less than a day. Well Connect is the Michigan-made solution to cutting your utility bills. In the last year, Well Connect reduced propane consumption by a million gallons, saving Michigan homeowners over $1 million. Get connected to Well Connect right now, and you can still qualify for a 30% federal tax credit and utility rebates, but they won't be here forever. Find out more right now. Visit WellConnectSaves.com, WellConnectSaves.com, or call 989-356-2113. Well